Good afternoon and welcome to Who Cares Wins. It's Channel Radio, it's Monday. How are you, Angela?
I'm super duper poop scooper, thank you.
Excellent.
Yep, absolutely glorious, glorious, glorious. Had a very busy week and also a really mindful weekend. I've been washing myself with mindfulness, doing
Excellent.
Teacher training and attending a lovely silent retreat. So I'm going to make up for it today.
Yeah, you don't do silent for long, so a retreat is what's great. Lock you away somewhere. And in case you don't know, folks, my name's Jan, and you're on Who Cares Wins today. And our wonderful guest we have in the studio is Rory Murphy of Wellbeing People. Good afternoon, Rory.
Good afternoon.
And Rory's going to be telling us all about workplace health and wellbeing, and also the fantastic Wellbeing Symposium that's coming up in November. So lots to pack in on today's show. And Rory has a fascinating background in his own right, but also the company that he works for, Wellbeing People, also has a fantastic business development story. So we're going to cover both of those first, if we may, Rory. Let's start with yourself. You were mentioning health and wellbeing now.
Yep.
But trade unions in the past?
Well, I left school the day before the head teacher invited me to leave at the age of 16. And both my parents were involved in trade unions, so it was a natural thing for me as a child of the 50s. That's what you did. You went to work, joined a trade union. Anyway, cut long story short, I became a general secretary of one of the major trade unions in the country, which is now called Unite.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
So looking after people and well-being has always been part of it. And it's not just health. It can be about pay in terms of conditions as well. Mm-hmm. But most intriguingly, I ran the trade union for the midwives. So I've seen more birth than is good for a non-medically qualified man.
There's a whole story and a whole show there,
I think
too.
So.
just a fantastic group of people. So that was my involvement, really. And for the last few years, I've been working with HR and occupational health, developing programs for people at work, people outside of work as well, because mm-hmm. not everybody's at work. We've got active retired people. We've got people, unfortunately, who aren't in work. So looking at health and well-being strategies for everybody has been an important part of my life for the last 5 years.
Right.
And then building upon that with well-being people.
Right. And so is it 5 years, your time with well-being people, or is there something
Yes, we were just thinking the other day, actually, when I was just getting my thoughts together for today, it's 6 years I've been working for them.
Right.
But they've been in existence in Kent for over 30 years.
Excellent.
A family business, started off as an engineering business.
Yes, I heard the story. It's fascinating, the different directions that they went in to end up where they are now.
Yeah.
So maybe you could take us through that.
Well, they started off manufacturing machines for Perrier water back in the 70s when bottled water, et cetera, was only coming onto the mainstream, and then developed into selling and delivering water. You'll see their watermen all over Kent, and in fact they have a national reach. And then moving from water into well-being on the basis that we hydrate the nation's workforce.
Right.
People are always chatting around water bottles and water coolers or taps and drinking water. And drinking water is a really very, very simple thing that we take for granted. But that got us into the whole well-being space, the whole health and well-being space, and we've really grown from there.
Mm-hmm. So I was looking at your website in preparation for today, and general interest anyway. So there's all sorts of things on there. So health checks, engagement, which covers things like equipment, surveys, workshops, all sorts of things, and you support companies. But also education, and then you mentioned the hydration side of things, and also fruit.
Yes, well, we effectively have three divisions.
Right.
Water, which is run quite separately now. The delivery of fruit into offices and homes, which is proving mm-hmm. to be very popular. That's a new area we've developed. And the health and well-being.
Right.
But under health and well-being, we have a very wide range. So, for example, we've just made an animated film mm-hmm. with Eddie the Elephant, which is aimed at helping preschool and primary school children learn the importance of drinking water as a life skill, mm-hmm. Not just as something that mommy or daddy will give you.
Right.
We also have a theatre-based show that we can do with that. The other end of the spectrum, we're just completing the summer, we're very excited about this, a film aimed at 14 or 15-year-old kids at school, talking mm-hmm. about the PSHE agenda.
Sorry, say again?
PSHE.
We love acronyms here.
All right.
We do, see, here we go now. PHSE, right. Parent.
Personal health.
Personal.
And social education. Sorry, my fault.
Excellent, we like that one. We'll test you later, Angela.
Okay,
and that's something
write that down.
It's something that kids are taught in school, but it's actually not taught very well.
Right.
The latest Ofsted report, was making it clear that they could do better.
But
of course, resources are very tight for schools.
Absolutely.
There's also lots of issues for faith schools. There's different issues with sex education, drugs, alcohol, etc. So we're making a film that will be part of a resource pack that can be put into schools to help have those lessons. It's written and directed by the Hazlitt Theatre. It's filmed in New Line, the school in Maidstone, which would be very important. So it's all very local again, but it will have a national reach. So again, made in Kent, but for the whole of the UK, which is really very, very important.
Excellent. So quite a widespread then of what you do.
Yeah.
And I was interested in terms, you said the fruit and the water are separate, and they have actually separate websites. Edgar's Water.
Yeah.
Is there an Edgar?
Yes, Simon Edgar. You'll be pleased to hear that. Yeah. Yes, there is a Mr. Edgar, larger than life character.
Excellent.
But Ben and Simon have been partners for a long time, so it's a very cohesive business.
Right. Okay. And perhaps you could take us through some of the health checks either equipment you offer, or do you perform the health checks?
We perform health checks. We have a kiosk.
Right.
That looks at six main elements of health checking, including blood pressure, BMI, and body fat, etc. And it's an interactive kiosk that people can stand on. They can health check themselves in about 6 minutes. It doesn't replace the NHS health check.
Sure.
But what we're all about as a company is engagement.
Mm.
It's very hard to get people to engage in their own health, particularly, for example, males over 50.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something they do. If they get a knock or a bang, they run it off. If they get a lump, it'll go away.
Mm.
If they find something untowards, it's only temporary. Or they don't talk about it, even to their partners.
Right.
Women, on the other hand, from an early age, are used to going to the doctor. There's just a different approach. So we find, particularly with males, but it's from all demographics as well, people will stand onto the kiosk.
Mm-hmm.
They will get their results, which are confidential to them. That's really important. So we're an external company going into a host company, doing confidential health checks, which the individual gets. We can refer them on to things if they feel they want to lose some weight or they've got high blood pressure, they need some advice. We have what we call referral pathways.
Okay.
That works very well. And then for the company itself, we're able to produce an anonymized management report that will show the company what's going on. So, for example, they might see that 30 or 40% of their staff could do it drinking more water, or 20% of their staff got high BMI.
Mm-hmm.
Now they can begin to do something.
Right.
To change that. And for example, if people are dehydrated or need to drink an extra glass of water, costs nothing.
Sure.
It's free.
Mm-hmm.
Every time you go to a meeting or every time you stand up from your desk, go and take half a glass of water. It's not difficult.
Right.
And of course, with the fruit, because there's the danger that some people get carried away with drinking water and they think, oh, I must drink more water. And actually, they need to look at everything. They're having fruit and vegetables. So, of course, they're having the fruit as well in the organisation. They're getting their fluids from there too. So it's great stuff.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And it's interesting. I was just looking at the animated cartoon again aimed at the preschool children last week. I kept thinking, this is relevant to me because it explains very simply about the water that's in fruit or in vegetables and drinking water. So although it's aimed at 3- and 4- and 5-year-olds, I think a lot of parents will learn a lot from watching it, which they may not want to admit to.
I don't know if you saw it, the documentary that's on at the moment, Trust Me, I'm a Doctor. They had a feature.
I'm recording it, so yes, I haven't seen them all. So
spoiler alert.
That's fine. Spoiler alert. Okay.
They had a feature on water and hydration last week. Yeah. And apparently one of the things that's happening, especially in professional sport, is that people are overhydrating.
Mm.
And then there are the illnesses and risks associated with that. So what they were saying is actually look at the whole package of your life.
Yeah.
And actually a lot of the food that you take in has water in it.
That's right.
And listen to your body. And take extra water on when it needs it, but what to look out for in terms of the signs.
Yeah.
And that's great for most people, but then obviously a child may not notice what the signs are. And if you're not well, then you may have a different requirement.
Mm. We actually employ research scientists to make sure that everything we have is scientifically backed.
Mm. Right.
And of course, a child won't know when he or she is thirsty. That's why mum and dad are very important.
Mm.
But if mum and dad don't understand the importance of hydration and where the water comes from, there can be a big knock-on effect here.
So certainly.
That's why it's very important that kids learn drinking water as a life skill.
Mm.
And we think if they learn at 5 or 6, they have a habit of adequate hydration all through their lives, whether it's tea, coffee, squashes, mm-hmm. They all count.
Yeah.
But it's like everything in life, just keeping everything in balance.
That's right.
You know, we don't go overboard on anything. We don't want health fascism anywhere. We just want people to understand what's available, what can be done in a timely manner, not yo-yo on things, just be consistent. Mm-hmm. And the kiosk that we have is, in terms of an engagement tool, just works so well. It just works so well. So we're, you know, it's made in Kent as well, by the way.
Excellent.
Manufactured in Kent. Yeah,
that's so good to hear.
All very, very important.
So the Garden of Kent is turning into the health centre of Kent. I like it.
Well, you see, you know, in the garden, that's where we need to be.
Yeah.
So you mentioned you've got a research department.
Yes.
Roughly, who else makes up the company? What sort of backgrounds?
Well, we have 130 employees.
Right.
We have technicians, we have manual workers, skilled workers, clerical admin, design, the whole piece to be a successful company. Mm-hmm. And as we expand, so our staff numbers will expand as well.
Excellent. Now, I was at the Kent Healthy Business event earlier in the year, which is where you and I met, and Ben was talking about, or forgive me, it may have even been yourself, the fact that you were looking for healthy activities within your own company and doing things like hula hoop.
Yep. Yes.
As a group.
Yeah. Well, what's very important to us is that before we push anything out to other companies, we want to make sure they work ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so the health and well-being of our own staff is absolutely fundamental. How could we begin to talk about the health and well-being of other staffs if our own? So we were looking at means and ways of making the workforce healthier. Some very simple issues, water, mm-hmm. as we've spoken about, fruit, and it's a bit easier for us because we're providing it. Health checks, again, on the kiosk, because people can get it. But we encourage people to hula hoop, spin plates, to go and take a lunch break.
Yeah. That's, you know, so important.
Stop this presenteeism. And so what we've done is we've developed two or three walks from the office, so you can have a 15-minute walk, mm-hmm. 20-minute walk, or a 30-minute walk. And that's marked out so that people can know what kind of exercise they're getting. We've helped with anti-smoking cessation. That's been important as well. And we also have a health and wellbeing committee that the staff run themselves. It's not the management or senior manager. The staff run themselves, and they say what they want to see done. Right. And we give them a budget as well. And it works fantastically well. We've reduced our sickness absence by half. There's hardly anybody in the organisation smokes now. It's all just done gently through this nudge principle of just showing people what can be done.
But also the empowerment side of things.
I think that's the key bit, the empowerment engagement, the key bit.
Also it's the education side sometimes that people need to perhaps know why and what the benefit is to me and perhaps around, you know, others around you, the impact you will have. Not only will you feel more energised or more focused and more productive and more effective, but then what does that mean for those that you're dealing with, suppliers, customers, other departments within the organisation?
Oh. Yeah, because they're not only working at it, they're living it. It's an important part of their life. And it's also explaining how things are. I mean, you know, I don't really understand, had never really understood calorie intake. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything that was in my head,
sure.
You know, and yet it's a truism, isn't it, that you want to expend more calories and take fewer in, and that helps you reduce weight. But sometimes we have to explain the simple things. But we need to give people a proactive, safe environment where they feel they can say, what is a calorie?
Yeah. You know, can we just go back to basics?
Exactly. But do it in a way that's not pejorative, that you're not talking down at people. It's something that people can think, okay, it's okay to ask that question. Mm. And so having that kind of very formal, friendly atmosphere becomes important. Mm. And we've had a lot of fun with it as well. You know, there's a great story which Ben will kill me for telling.
It's all right, nobody can hear us.
He was working very late one night, and he was looking just for a bit of sugar, so he found a sweet in a packet in a desk. So he had the sweet. Anyway, the next one, Ben's such a nice guy, he thought he'd better replace the sweets, because he only took one or two, but he replaced it with a pack. So he walked through the office with a pack of sweets, and one of the young women working in the office said, Ben, what are you doing? You know, this is an office junior. Ben's the owner of the business, the managing director. Mm-hmm. And he went, I took a couple of sweets last night, so I'm just bringing them back. She said, you so disappoint me.
Oh.
You so disappoint me. You shouldn't be bringing sweets into the office. And to us, that just epitomises how we got it right.
Yeah.
Because that young woman who had lost a lot of weight and found a lot of energy in her life, was confident enough to say, hey, Ben, you know, we're in this or we're not. And it just made his day. It's just fantastic. It's
That's a great story.
Yeah, you know, and everybody laughed. But it makes the point without anybody having to say anything. You don't have stickers on the wall. And then also little things like, at you know, maybe just for a month or two, instead of bringing sweets and cakes for a birthday, if it's a biggish office, bring in some fruit or bake something healthy.
Yes, flat something healthy.
It's not difficult.
In fact, talking of healthy and talking about eating, you've just reminded me that yesterday on this retreat, we had tea and cake in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And it was a homemade carrot and courgette.
Oh, that's an interesting combination.
Mm. I know. Look at his face. But it was like, I looked at the sign and thought, did you know what you did there, Rory? And I was like, okay, beginner's mind, and just let's taste this. And it was really scrummy, really scrummy.
Excellent.
And apparently, she told me, much better for me than the chocolate fudge cake that I would have rather have had.
Right, well, we're going to take a music break now. And this piece of music is for all you people out there who do not feel empowered, working the 9 to 5. And when we come back, we'll share some more stories of how you can become empowered and work with your colleagues to better your health.
Can I have a jig?
And I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind. Watch him shatter. You're just a step on the boss man's ladder, but you got dreams he'll never take away. In the same boat with a lot of your friends, waiting for the day your ship will come in and the tide's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll your way. Working 9 to 5.
Welcome back to Who Cares Wins. We're talking today with Rory Murphy of Wellbeing People. And Rory, just before the break, we were talking about being empowered and your own company, your own employees are empowered. What sort of companies are you working with to help their staff?
Well, we work on a whole range of companies, multinational companies,
right.
Some who make brown fizzy water, for example, without no names, no petrol, to very small companies within this facility, the length and breadth of the country. So we engage with public sector, private sector, not-for-profit, the third sector, the across the whole board.
Absolutely anybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do you find that there's a different approach between either the size of company or whether you're talking with the managers or the employees?
Yes, there can be. We find with big multinational companies in particular that time is of the essence. Time, 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 all the time. We work for one global communication company that had a very big and very well-resourced occupational health service, but nobody was going to it.
Right.
Because I think people still, even in these modern technology companies, still feel a bit nervous about going to the occupational health nurse door, knocking on the door, and sitting down maybe for 15, 20, 25, 30 minutes. Two things there. One is that people see you go to the door, so mm-hmm. they immediately start whispering, oh, Billy's got a problem, or Rory's got a problem. And secondly, if you're in a high-pressure environment, the manager and the supervisor doesn't want to give you the time.
Sure.
So we were brought in to help encourage and engage people to engage in their own health and well-being. So the kiosk that we put in place does the health check in 6 or 7 minutes.
Right.
If that presented a problem, they could then go to occupational health.
Mm.
They had no worries about going then because it was all part of a planned program.
Yeah.
We'd go in for a week or 2 weeks at a time. In one of their sites in Stoke, we had the kiosk on site 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for nearly 2 years. And people would use it for all different reasons. Weightlifters would use it.
Mm-hmm.
People going to Weight Watchers instead of weighing in and paying the money would weigh in on the kiosk because it does your weight as well. Down to the smaller employer where we don't always bring the kiosk in, but we can bring other workshops in, whether it's mental resilience, happiness, etc.,
right.
cholesterol testing. It really depends on the company, the owner, the board of directors, wanting to invest some time in their employees. And we're finding more and more when pay increases aren't going up, maybe salaries aren't rising quite so much, the employer wants to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And people do appreciate when an employer does something to help them with their health and well-being.
Mm.
Because it impacts on the family as well. It's not just on the individual.
Sure. So it sounds very much that, that it's tailor-made services. So.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's no, not one thing fits all.
No, no. We have a few products that, that people could use. So, for example, our employee assistance program. Traditionally, it would be the big employers that would have a, an employee assistance program.
Right.
We have developed with a global employee assistance provider a product where if you've got two employees, your employees can ring 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to professional counsellors based in the UK, mm-hmm. In Oxford as it happens, and that costs £12 per annum per employee. So that's £1 a month. And that can have a huge impact on a small business.
Mm.
So, for example, in Kent, as you know, 70,000 businesses employ less than 10 people.
Yeah.
You know, just there alone, those employers of 10 people haven't got the time, much as they might like to, haven't got the time to sit down and talk to people if they've got a problem with a partner or a fence or a financial problem or a gambling problem or alcohol problem.
Mm. And that's the thing about the employers, because interestingly, you look at the role of a manager, and that, to a degree, we talked about it in the break, that you've got a manager who is managing people, is or the organisation, and the CEO, you know, the managing director of the organisation of, say, 10 people. And they're making, as you say, it could be making widgets or it's providing a service. Whatever it's doing, is that's their main passion and aim. So, yes, our employees' health and well-being is paramount. But at the same time, we're not trained counsellors. As a manager, I'm not a trained counsellor. I'm not a trained financial advisor. I'm not a trained solicitor or legal professional or somebody about putting, you know, your mum into a home if that's looking at, you know, an Alzheimer's and all of those issues. And some we've spoken about already with latest life support and things that... It's, you know, giving that option of saying, hey, look, there's this phone number. You can ring them. So the company's doing their bit to support their employees and giving them the help and encouragement and being able to keep them. But at the same time, that employee feels supported. And I think that's great that you've got the smaller employee, the smaller, you know, the SME market, because yeah. often it's been looked at that, oh, well, we can't afford those EAPs. You know, they're for big companies.
Yeah, it doesn't even come on people's agenda because of this. So, but I mean, we had a case only a couple of months ago where it was a little engineering company. Now, we talk euphemistically about the managing director, but he's making widgets as well. You know, everybody's doing the same thing because it's employing 5 or 6 people. He had an employee, unfortunately, lost his mother, was struggling a bit. The guy was coming in, talking to the MD. They were empathising and they were friends, but the MD knew he wasn't doing the guy any good because he wasn't a bereavement counsellor.
No.
The guy wasn't getting anywhere. Okay, he was talking, but he wasn't actually resolving his issues. So he rang the number and got put through, because there's a triage system, got put through to a professional bereavement counsellor.
Yeah.
Now, you know, hasn't solved his problems completely, but he's a happier person. He's dealing with his issues. the managing director is still able to make his widgets, he feels very good because he's actually given the guy some professional help.
Yeah, right.
I mean, fantastic, really. Mm.
£1 a month.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't go wrong, can
you?
No,
you can't. Exactly. So, yeah. So we're really pretty, that's going down well. People are very interested in that. And it's something that makes a big difference to business.
Yeah.
And it's something you can give back to your employees because, you know, employees don't... I mean, how much is that worth? No, it's hard to put a value on that. If that guy...
Well, you just look at everything, don't you? Loss of productivity. You know, yes. If you'll even lose with the stress management stuff, even if you lose a day's productivity a week from somebody due to the stress, it could be to do with losing their mother, you know, anything's going on in their private life in general, or losing them, you know, the house is being repossessed. That, you know, you're looking at that loss of productivity. How much does that cost?
Yeah.
Bottom line, you lose the employee. Perhaps they feel they can't work and deal with their mother and moving home, and so they feel they have to leave. So you've lost an employee. So you've lost an employee. Now you've got to recruit a new one.
Yeah.
And the whole recruitment cost.
And that, there's cost on that. But also if somebody is working, but they're not working 100%.
Exactly. Yeah.
That has an impact on your business.
Mm.
So we know that, you know, getting the link of everything between healthy eating, diet, bit of fitness, water, EAP can make a big difference. I mean, we know that, as I said earlier, that we reduced our sickness absence to the impact is effectively one new employee for the year,
which is incredible.
Now, is that not worth it?
Thousands of pounds.
You know, it's just massive.
Yeah.
But we're all about customer care and client care, so that continuity with the client is really, really important.
And it's knock on effect, isn't it? That if one person starts to feel the benefit, then they start to evangelise, and
well,
but if you can see the results,
then
you get someone talking, you say, you know, you look so well, or you look different, or you look great. What are you on? And you can say, well, actually, here's the website, or here's that kiosk. Go down there. You know, changes your world.
It creates a little bit of humour in the office as well. If you know if somebody comes down in a bit of a bad mood, which we all do, you know, start banging the cup around or whatever. There's almost like a shorthand version. Oh, ring the number, you know, deal with
have
it.
Have a chat.
But very often, if people are in a bad mood or is a little bit of a, you know, a pallor being cast over, that it breaks it. It breaks that spell. And that's all you need. And everybody gets on. So it has an indirect impact as well. And we're also doing some work in Kent with a housing association who are providing
that service to
their tenants.
Mm. Oh, right.
Because with the bedroom tax and austerity, really, really difficult. People aren't maybe going to pay their rent as well as they should. They're going to get into financial difficulty.
Mm.
So this will allow them to ring this number again if they're tenants of this housing association, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Now, they won't go direct to the finance issue.
Sure.
Because very often if there is a finance issue, there is something else underlying it.
Yes.
I mean, it could be as obvious as they haven't got a job or they're not managing their finances properly, and financial exclusion is a big issue. But it could be that they've got a relationship issue or alcohol problem, drug problem. So we can get to the root cause of the problem. And because it's not the housing association, i.e. the landlord, asking the question about their finances, people feel much more comfortable. So we branded it completely differently.
Right.
It's the same professional service. It's no different, same professional service. And that's proven to be very successful as well. And that's very, very new, doing that. That really is innovative stuff
service,
by Kent Housing Association. It's just really very exciting.
Yeah.
Mm, very exciting. And again, you know, being able to see the product, the outcome of that. Again, maybe we'll need to get you back on the show to actually get them.
I would get them
and
to come in and talk
see,
about it.
See the difference, see the actual effects
very,
it's
very
happening.
Exciting.
It's actually having, because that is a worry for people, landlords as well.
The other area where we were is that with the company, but again, it's a multinational company. They have a particular issue with some of their employees because English isn't their first language.
Right.
But they want to know about their mental resilience. They want to know how they're feeling about work. So we've come up with what we call mood buttons.
Right.
So as people come into the office, they press a button. This is looking great on radio, isn't it? It's a lovely colour brochure.
Let me take a photo.
We'll tweet it out.
Mental resilience.
There's no copyright on this, is there?
We're about to find out.
If I just
phone's
do it
ringing.
Very distant,
but the idea is that people can, you know, just indicate without having to go into language and words, you know, big smile or not a big smile.
Oh, look at that! I've blurred it on purpose.
And that helps people. It helps the company to understand that are people happy, because we want people to be happy in work.
And does it measure just numbers of happiness, or is it?
Fred has just
signed in, and Fred's not happy today.
Yeah, it's really very straightforward at the moment. But it's based on building a program on understanding mental resilience within the workplace. So this employer has been quite innovative again in asking us to come up with something so they can begin to measure. You have to measure before you can cure. But once you've cured or resolved, you have to measure again to see if it's worthwhile. So everything we do is about that return on investment. We know as a as a small, medium-sized enterprise, if you spend £100, you know, you've got to get value for that £100. We understand that. That's really, really important to us. Just as it's important for a multinational company as well.
Yeah.
You know, so whether you've got 2 employees or 200 employees or 2,000 or 20,000, it actually is the same issues.
Yeah.
And that's where the health and being, we think, is a good area to be in because it's a happy thing.
Yes.
Happy, happy thing.
But also it is about whatever size organisation, and I think my take on the whole financial crisis and fall down and everything, but it is about people being more aware of whether it's £100 or £100 million, where's this money going? How are we looking at a return on investment? So it's seen as a value rather than just money being thrown at things in the past, which organisations have done around health and wellbeing and other little, you know, having a little logo on the wall. Oh, yeah, we've done that tick box. But actually, you've gone through a tick box, but actually nothing's really changed, has it?
It's about making it better, which is yet another brilliant segue to our next piece of music. So here
you
we are.
Just feed him and I'll throw him back.
Ever wanted to stream audio across the web but had no idea where to start? Visit www.simplecast.co.uk. Simplecast make audio streaming a breeze, with all standard packages taking only 5 minutes to set up, automatically, anytime, 24 hours a day, with features like unlimited streaming bandwidth. And with a 99.9% uptime, guaranteed. Simplecast have their own dedicated servers with Shoutcast, Icecast, and Auto DJ installed. Simplecast can support every venture from a grassroots level up to the big guys with domain name purchasing and website hosting with 24/7 backups. If you've thought of a broadcast, we've thought of the solution. www.simplecast.co.uk.
Channel Radio. And good afternoon. Welcome back to Who Cares Wins. We're talking all things health and well-being today with Rory Murphy of Wellbeing People. And in this next section, we want to be talking about fantastic events coming up. It's the Wellbeing Symposium 2013, taking place in November, November the 13th.
Friday the 13th, isn't it, as well?
Is
it?
No.
Doom and gloom there. No.
Oh, no, Friday the 13th. They skip it's always that. Good. It's always a positive day for me. I always say Friday the 13th, lucky for some. So, yeah. But it's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday, yeah, so we're safe.
We went for 13, 11, 13. That was the thinking.
Good bit of structure there. So last year the event took place for the first time.
Yep.
Can you give us a bit of background on how that came together?
Well, as I'm sure a lot of your listeners have indicated, we're very proud of the work that we do. We're very proud of our Kent base, but we also want to spread the message. Mm-hmm. We produce a directory, which is on our website, which people can see. And the directory is kind of an important element of how we build our business and letting people know what we're doing. And then we thought, we come across so many fantastic people doing such good work. We'd worked with Dame Carol Black and Dr. Steve Borman from the Royal Mail, lots of other people that we spoke to. We thought what we ought to be having is a symposium, not a conference or the old-fashioned seminar, but a symposium where people can come together, listen to some experts, but then also engage through workshops. So we ran one last year in conjunction with Pillory Barn.
Right.
Another Kent company. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was just such a phenomenal success. We were so pleased. Dame Carol Black was very gracious and agreed to come be our keynote speaker. We were very Fantastic. Nervous about it. These things can fall flat on their face.
Sure.
There's always a temptation to run things in London mm-hmm. or Birmingham or Manchester.
Yes.
But we felt very clearly that we wanted to run it in Kent. We want to make, if you like, Kent and the M20, the corridor for health and well-being in the country, rather like the M4 is for silicon.
Excellent.
And then we also have this little this little joke amongst ourselves that when they started off Glastonbury concerts in a muddy field 30, mm-hmm. 40 years ago, nobody wanted to go. It was very difficult for anyone to go. So we think, in the end, people want to flock to Detling to come to our health and well-being seminar. So this year, again, we've got the minister who deals with health and well-being in the country, Earl Howe, coming to speak. We're just so pleased, and we're up to over 350 people now coming, a lot local, but a lot from around the country as well, and some big blue chip companies as well. So it's a very exciting development. We've got 9 speakers, mm-hmm. from the leader of Kent County Council to an actor who I'll talk to a little bit more about later,
right.
And then there'll be 8 workshops. In the afternoon. So we're really very excited about it. It's a full day, a lot going on, a lot of exhibitions, lots of opportunities to see things. But more importantly, to learn about how you can alter health and well-being, but not only in your company, but in your community
right.
and for you as an individual. So we've broken the symposium into 3 streams, if you like, the individual, community and the workplace, and ensure that we cover all of those.
And so is it open to anybody to attend?
Yes, yeah. yes, for a small fee.
And you can get a discount, folks. We'll give you the website details later on. But if you do visit the website, the price there is as your cold caller, so to speak. But if you quote WCW99, you will get, for a discounted price of £99, entry to the day. And we'll post that on Facebook later on. So you mentioned some of the speakers there.
Yes. Well, Earl Howe is the government is obviously very important. What the government do in health and well-being, it affects us all. Government policy, whatever we think of the government, one way or another, their policies do make a difference. We've got Peter Stringer, who's the chief executive of Golding Homes, and Golding Homes advocate strong community interest as part of their brief. We've got Simon Thorpe, who's a former athlete. He's a very very good, entertaining speaker. He speaks on happiness. Helping people improve their performance through happiness. David Orr is the chief executive of the National Housing Federation. And again, he's a very big advocate of health and well-being in the housing sector. David is a national figure. It's a massive organisation that he's involved with. Mm. We're also very pleased to have Baroness Debbie Stedman-Scott, who's the chief executive of Tomorrow's People, which is a national employment charity. So we're really very excited about that. And the work is... But again, it's all about health and well-being. If young people are in work and feel contented and happy and satisfied, that makes for a happier person mentally, physically, emotionally.
Yeah.
And that's all got to help. We've also got a very interesting little company called Out of the Dark coming from Buckinghamshire. They take old furniture and paint it in funky colours.
Mm-hmm.
But all the work is done by people who've had a brush with the law, trying to teach them skills, not just patronise them with old paint instead, but have skills. So they're going to be there giving a demonstration as well. You can have your blood tests, cholesterol testing, there'll be yoga. We've got a Times and Sun columnist, Amanda Ursel, coming. And, of course, our own dear managing director, Ben McGannon.
It's quite a diverse range of speakers
it
there.
It is.
Topics but to go with them.
I think we decided that if to make this event happen, we had to be inclusive of everybody.
Mm.
So we wanted to make sure that we got a complete range of people. So like last year, we'd produced a play aimed at sixth formers.
Mm-hmm.
That we had a little extract of that as well, that we were planning and may still take to Edinburgh at some stage in the future. But this year we've got Tom Malaburn, who's a Shakespearean actor, and he's going to give some of the speeches from Hamlet and then explain how Hamlet might have performed differently had he had access to an EAP or some health and wellbeing in his time.
What a wonderful idea.
But it's, we did this a couple of years ago at the Globe, and it just went down so well. And it's a little bit of light entertainment as well.
Sure.
You've got to get the balance right between a bit too heavy and worthy, and having a bit of fun. So there'll be a smoothie bike there as well. Lots of different things to do. And, of course, a healthy lunch goes without saying.
Well, that's a very packed day, isn't it?
Mm, so it is.
We're trying to see if we've got the times. What sort of... We know it's Wednesday, November the 13th.
I've got it here. Yeah, the workshops on here, it says the workshops are from 1:15 to half past
right.
3.
We haven't spoken about the workshops. They were just the keynote speakers in the morning at the plenary session.
Time would it start in the morning?
So I've got 8:30 networking.
Yep.
Early start for some. Well, but again, not for workers.
No, it's half the day gone at 8:30.
Well, again, the feedback we had very strongly from last year was that people wanted to network with each other to understand what they've done themselves to resolve their problems. Mm-hmm. So we had to fit the networking in.
Mm.
You know, charging the money that we are, the £149 or discount for your guys, it's important that the day is full, that everybody gets something out of it.
Absolutely.
So we don't apologise for it being full. It is full.
Yeah.
But we hope that it's really good value for money.
So we've got speakers in the morning.
Yep.
We've got the workshops in the afternoon, which we'll come to in just a second.
Yep.
Are there also company stands? Is there an exhibition
Not. We've resisted the temptation to have too many company stands because we don't want it to be a trade fair.
Certainly.
As such. So there are some selected partners that we're working with.
Mm-hmm.
Golding Home are a key sponsor, obviously. The Health Insurance Group will be there. Posturite will be there as well. Out of the Dark, yoga demonstrations, back massage, psych massage. So there will be some there. But the main bit is on the exchange of information. What we don't want to do is people feeling that they've got to go down shopping alley.
Yes.
Mm. You know, and be bombarded by people trying to sell them their wares. Yeah. This is much more about the discussion, learning, understanding, seeing what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And having Paul Cutler at County Council is very important as well.
Yeah.
Because County Councils are very, very important now in the delivery of health and wellbeing for the populace. Yeah. And that's why the key streams are the employer, but being at work, community and the individual.
Mm-hmm. And then the workshops in the afternoon, some fascinating ones on offer.
I know,
there.
I was just reading through those again.
What are you signing up for, Angela? Because we're both going. We shall be there with our roving microphone going to interview as many people.
Do some of them run alongside each other? So
yes, there's three studios, if you like, three lecture theatres, if you like. Going back to the themes that we have of workplace community.
Mm.
So we've got one CSR, core partnerships, happiness, as I said before. Posturite will be doing something. PPC Worldwide will be looking, they're the global provider of the EAP, they'll be doing something. Our film, we're so excited about our film. In fact, you know, we're going to enter that film for BAFTAs.
We're going to
heard it here on Who Cares Wins Radio. BAFTA award winning potential here.
Yeah, and if anybody out there can think of any other film societies or shows that we should be, educational films or just general. But, you know, we want this film not just to be seen as something about teaching kids about their own personal health and social health, but maybe it's something they can look at themselves. And this is a really important area for us. We think if we can get this right, sell the film into schools, that will allow us to have money to develop more films and we can work through, because we think film and animation is a really important way to get through.
It is a great way for people, because especially in the schools and the education world, people are growing up with that sort of that world of interactive with this iPad, Twitters, whatever they've got, their mobile phones and social networks. And so if they're used to that already, it's an element of, in my world, in the corporate HR arena, you recruit people who, there's almost an expectation of, oh, I thought you would have had touch this, and you would have had that instant, and I thought your induction would have been on a little video clip that I could have downloaded on my, you know, my little music player, and I could have watched that on the train on the way in or something. So it's that the technology world is definitely moving faster and faster, and so things like that really tick lots of boxes.
And it's actually marrying up the technology with the need. So we haven't just written this script; it's been researched with young people, not teachers, with young people. And you know, I want people to come and see the film and to come and see it. But there's two twists in it that I, just as a parent, I had no perception of in terms of obesity or self-harming, you know. And it's really a fantastic piece of film to get discussion going, which is what it's all about. It's not trying to tell people what to do, but just have the discussion. So that's really important, and that ties in with Wellbeing's whole ethos of what we call engaged prevention. We want people to engage before something goes wrong.
It
seems so obvious.
Yeah, prevention better than cure.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. But we want people to engage in it, but proactively do it. So you know, one in five of us at any one time will be suffering from a mental health problem, but we're still frightened to talk about it. You know, or if we do, we'll say, oh, she's bonkers or he's bonkers. But what we need to be doing is encourage people to say, no, I am having a tough time, actually. Can you just cut me a little slack or help me a little bit? Or I'm going to pop in the room and ring this number or whatever. It's all about just being kind to each other. And that way, I think we can make such a big difference. You know, a lot of people say to me, oh, health and well-being in the workplace is expensive. You've got to do this, that. It really
doesn't need to be, does it?
Just drink half a glass of water extra a day. Mm-hmm. Take your lunch break and go for a walk for 20 minutes. You've started. Mm-hmm. Some companies will want to do a little bit more. Some will want a lot more. Some smaller companies will want to do what they can, like the ESP that we have, the Employee Support Programme. It's just getting that balance right. There's no right or wrong answer to it. But we can all do something very gently, very easily, that can make a difference. And that's the kind of area that we're in.
And it is so important about doing... It is the whole thing of actually just take action, just do one tiny thing, whether it's one individual that takes one tiny thing, whether it's the actual organisation that takes one step of just phoning Wellbeing people and contacting them and having that discussion to start with. But in the individuals, just taking a lunch break, I mean, that's Jan knows very well, and listeners know that's my big passion in working with individuals and organisations, to make sure that even if it is just 5 minutes, get out of your chair, step up, releasing oxygen,
move around,
mobilising the joints. Yep. And even if it's going down, instead of there's a sandwich machine on your floor, go to a different floor.
Yes.
So you use the stairs to get that sandwich and come back. Yep. That's just a bit different than, I can't, the catastrophe of I can't possibly go out and get lunch and queue up, I haven't got time for all that, haven't got time to make it, to bring it in. There's all a lot of what I call yeah but no but syndrome.
Absolutely.
But start with small little steps. Yes.
And breaking out of your shell, passing somebody in the corridor, making eye contact, smiling. Don't have to stop and have a conversation necessarily.
You might have to do it in stages, though, Jan. Look first. Maybe tomorrow will be the smile. You know, can't do it all
So I'll do it the other way around. Smile first.
Or maybe,
then they think you're in your own head at that point.
Maybe. But it is. Just tiny steps.
And it's interesting because we're surrounded by health and well-being all the time. You know, because we know that Mary or Billy is ill or their mum's had a problem with that. And I was just looking at some headlines from newspapers, just literally from the last week. You know, you can't beat a good quarter century of sleep. We apparently sleep for 25 years in our lifetime. And yet a lot of people struggle with sleep.
Yes.
But don't talk about it.
No.
Well, we can help. There's a rise in the number of people working while ill. Mm-hmm. Now, that is definitely connected to the current economic
climate. Well, that's the whole
climate.
Present that you mentioned, and that word is presenteeism.
Yeah. Yeah.
People
yeah.
hang. I knew somebody who used to hang a cardigan on the back of their office chair, mm-hmm. and they would leave their PC on permanently, never logged off, just left it on screensaver, to give the impression that they were always around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because they felt they needed to do that. And I thought that was really, really sad.
And that's not good. Not good for the individual, not good for the company either. And then some odd headlines. There's one here which just defies expectation, really. Why white bread is better for you than the experts claim. So there's a lot of contradictory headlines as well. And that's why we just want to be that guiding light, keep it very simple, nothing out of the ordinary. We're not no great claims. We want once people start to engage in their health, that's when they'll begin to make differences to their health.
They'll notice the benefits.
And the issue come back to, say, for example, to the animation in the school. A number of companies are now saying to us, or we'll buy the animation to put into the school where our employees' kids go to school. Mm-hmm. So that's part of their CSR agenda, so that's an important element. But of course,
just to remind our listeners, CSR,
Corporate Social Responsibility.
Thank you. Just to remind the listeners. Yeah. I think we should do a little test at the end of the year, shouldn't we? Yeah. See if you can remember.
Prize for the ones who can. Yeah.
So what's happening then, of course, is that the school get it and they're thrilled. But what happens? Little Johnny and Mary come home from having seen the animation, say, "Mummy, Daddy, we've got to drink more water."
Yeah.
Now, what will make an adult do something more than a child saying, "Oh, we should go for a walk, we should drink more water"? Mm-hmm. So the whole thing becomes that. And in a way, although my background is a bit odd, being, you know, coming from the trade union background, it is all about engaging
with
people.
It's still harmony, isn't it?
And it's harmony, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and we used to always say, a happy worker is a productive worker.
Mm. Certainly.
They are. Well, V-Life was a company that I did some research. They did some work with the Institute of Health and Wellbeing and V-Life, and they did a whole study into, I think it was about 2004, into organisations, and actually if they looked after their wellbeing and looked at, encouraging the employees to literally what you're talking about, Rory, and their statistics they came out with was that they would save an hour. So it worked out a whole day. They would basically get a whole day back of productivity from healthy people.
And as you've said, this the standing up, the moving around, just simple things.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be like, oh, I've got to start doing this huge program at the gym, and I've got to throw my fridge out, and, I'm going to have to be boring parent with my children. It doesn't have to be that.
No,
it's the fun element as well.
If you have a desk job, there are so many things you can do at your desk, but standing up. So talking on the telephone, colleague visits your desk, stand up to talk.
Yeah.
Doing some filing, going
it's
to get
quite
the stapler.
Good for the old power as well. If you're standing up and they're sitting down, or vice versa, just raising and being on the same level.
I want you both on the same level, so you both stand up, please.
That's it. That's what I meant. So if you feel intimidated, stand up, then you stand your ground. So this assertion.
And we can see from the kiosk. We did over 80,000 kiosk health checks last year, and the blood pressure is rising year on year.
Yes,
and that coincides with the increase in the stress levels that people have. And we produce a report every year, the health of the UK workforce, which we average about 80,000 health checks a year on our kiosk. So we've got the best snapshot of the health of the UK workforce. And so we can track changes on BMI and weight. So we're in the third year of producing that now. Each year it's becoming more and more valuable because... Yeah. In the last 2 and a bit years now, we've done over 150,000 health checks on the kiosk. So,
and will the kiosk be at the symposium?
It will indeed. There'll be a serried rank of them.
Excellent.
Great.
We'll both have a go.
Yes.
We'll report back.
Yes.
Yeah.
So let's give our listeners some details then. does it change? Does my BMI change if I bounce and laugh at the same time?
No.
So no.
Oh, damn.
So, folks, you're looking out.
Stand on
it's
one
called
leg.
The Wellbeing Symposium. The date is November the 13th, 2013, and the venue is the Kent Event Centre, Maidstone. Now, that's the Detling Showground for any locals. It's just off the M20, so very easy to get to. The website is www.thewellbeingsymposium2013, that's all one word, .co.uk. There's a Facebook page, The Wellbeing Symposium. They're on Twitter, @wellbeing2013.
We've been tweeting.
We've been including their
handle in the tweets.
Absolutely. So if you go onto that website, it's got all the information about the times, the venue, the speakers, the workshops. As you will see on the website, a single ticket is $149 plus VAT. But if you quote WCW for Who Cares Wins, you will get a £99 ticket plus VAT.
WCW99
is our code. So that's well worth having a look at. We also have details for Rory and Wellbeing People. That's www.wellbeingpeople.com, C-O-M. Inquiries at wellbeingpeople.com is the email, and a phone number of 01622 834 834 if you want to get in touch with Rory or any of his colleagues at Wellbeing People. All of that information will be on our Facebook page.
I need to ask, because I can see it out the corner of my eye, Rory. I'm in your little booklet there with the work you're doing in schools, pupils, teachers and parents. There's, do you remember you used to make it out of paper and you used to put 1, 2, 3, 4 on
the diamond
top,
and,
you'd put it over your two thumbs and your two fingers and you'd open, you'd say, right, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4 and then you'd open it and they'd be like, I love you, or something like that.
Or green or blue. Or
you need to go and buy my lunch, for example. Hey, that'd be a good idea, couldn't it, in the workplace?
What's your activity today?
Whose turn today? And so I'm intrigued. It looks like that, but maybe it isn't, well, but there's different colours on there.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of those things. This is about our engage prevention piece, where when we're talking to organisations, the things that they need to get right. So, you know, brand, communications, engagement,
right,
empowerment, referral, intervention. And we've done it as a little... I can never know what it's called.
I
can't remember. If anybody knows what we're talking about, tell us.
Let us know, Facebook or tweet it, what it's called.
So, because very often people, particularly smaller companies, smaller organisations, don't really know how to start developing a health and wellbeing strategy. Mm. And so think, oh, I won't bother. Mm. Actually, you start health and wellbeing strategy by having an extra glass of water and go for a walk at lunchtime.
Yes, yes.
It's as simple as that.
And actually lead from the top.
Yeah, that's really very important.
Like you say, your lovely little story of your MD earlier.
No, it's great. It's
but it is actually, if they're seen to be doing it, then others will follow. Yeah. It's that sometimes it's about, not about saying a lot or preaching and communicating around. It's actually, do you know what? We're all going to have a lunch break today, and there's this, but the MD or the CEO, or they actually encourage to go out, why don't we have a lunch together or something if it's smaller companies. So they actually start to realize, because so many people, managers have done this, I've seen this over so many years, that managers often forget. They're trying to encourage their staff, you know, oh no, you must have a lunch break, or you know, you must go home, but they'll still be there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Till 6, 7 o'clock at night.
By example.
Yeah. Well, it can be a little bit parent child, can't it? We all look at what the parent does, and it's that. So if the boss is working till 8 or 9, and you want to get on, you feel you ought to, and that's why things like the fruit box works, because an employer can say for 5 or 6 people, put a box of fruit in a week, and it's incredible the impact that has, because they start eating an apple or a grape or a banana. And then they go buy them themselves, or buy an extra one, or bring it into the office. Yeah. It's a very small thing to do. And we try and source everything locally as well, as much as we can. So that's
great.
Important.
Good.
So, you know, it's all part of growing this new business that is health and wellbeing. Mm. And we're getting a lot of traction nationwide. And also, I'm very pleased to say we've had an inquiry from Denmark.
Yeah.
International.
For the councils. And we found, he'll be really embarrassed now, Scott in our office. Fluent Danish speaker.
Excellent.
Nobody knew.
Yeah.
So he's on the phone to Copenhagen. Fantastic. And the Danes are so impressed.
Oh, brilliant.
Marvellous.
And so are we. And so
Rory,
and so you should be.
It's been brilliant having you on the show today. Thank you very much for sharing not only your own story, but the story of wellbeing, people, and talking to us about the symposium. So as I say, Angela and I will both be there on the day.
Yes, you want to come and have a laugh.
Roving microphones. So hopefully we'll have some interviews for you later on.
Yeah, we can roam, can we, with our microphones? Yeah,
of course you can. And you can get on the smoothie bike.
We'll take some photos and we'll tweet those.
Carol Brace, she does the old smoothie bike. So she might be interested with that.
So just a quick reminder for this week, folks. Tomorrow, 22nd of October, is International Stammering Awareness Day. If you visit www.stammering.org, there's more information on there. And on Wednesday, local event at East Kent College, Broadstairs, free event, Going for Growth.
Yay.
Angela will be there.
I'm going to be there. I'm the facilitator for the whole day. And we've got some lovely speakers. And one of them, in fact, two of them, but one of them you've met is from our show, Kathy Amani.
Excellent. And on next week's show?
Next week. Next week. Oh, yes, sorry. I was looking at the details for the Cathy O'Marnock, because also Brenda is speaking. We have the lovely Paul Stevens in the studio from Future Life Properties, all about a different way of running a property estate agency.
Excellent. Well, we're wishing you a very good week. And with the topic we've been talking about, we hope you don't live in a material world. But here's some Madonna to play us out today. Have a good week, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.